You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with co-host Pat Traina of The Athletic, Sports Exchange, Forbes, Big Blue View, Inside Football, and a host of places. Pretty much you read Giants coverage, you'll find Patty's work somewhere along the way. And so how you doing today, Patty? Your head spinning from all the places you're writing for and all the posting you've got to do?
Oh my gosh. You know, I've spent the last 3 days literally glued to my desk chair writing content. I still have a lot more I have to write up, but you know what? I'm having fun. At some point I'm going to get back to practice. I'm off today from practice. I was off yesterday as well, but I'll be there Tuesday and Wednesday, and of course we'll be at the game on Friday night. So looking forward to that.
Well, yours truly did the sacrilegious thing of actually taking a little bit of time off this weekend. Of course, after finishing up my work Saturday morning, took the wife to the Kenny Chesney concert, which means during my time off, I went back to MetLife Stadium.
isn't that always the way it is? I mean, it's funny. I say I'm off today, but when I say off, I'm actually still working. It's just I'm not at practice for today. But hey, it's all good. It's all part of the job.
Yes, it is, Patty. And we thought what we would do today, we're halfway through the preseason. We thought we would do pretty much a state of the Giants, you know, at the halfway mark of the preseason. And I will begin, you know, with this, Patty. We've both talked about, in various ways, we've written about and talked about, you know, the new era of the Giants with new GM Dave Gettleman, new head coach Pat Shurmur. We've talked about, you know, the changes in culture, the changes in philosophy. And what I want to begin with is just I feel like this is a better prepared football team that's run in a better manner. I mean, you talk a lot about, you know, building from inside out instead of outside in. I think you wrote about that today at Big Blue View in your most recent perspectives piece. And I just feel better. You know, as an overall statement, I feel better about this team's preparedness and about the direction that it's going in.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, besides the roster point, you know, a building from the inside out, which the previous regime didn't do, what I really like about how Gettleman and Shurmur have gone about putting this team together is the relationship building. I mean, Shurmur, and I think I wrote this in my article, very boring man, and I don't mean that as an insult, but when it comes to getting up in front of the press, he's not going to give you any quotes. You know, you think back to Tom Coughlin. Coughlin sometimes would go on a long-winded, you know, stream of conscious with you if you asked him a certain question. You know, McAdoo, everything was always, you know, me versus you type deal, so it got a little bit ugly here and there. Shurmur will try to answer a question, but he won't really answer a question. And a lot of times his responses are just vanilla. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. And, you know, I know that sounds funny coming from somebody from the media who needs stuff to write about. But what I like about it is that he's building relationships and trusting relationships with his players. And as one player told me, when you have a coach that bends over backwards for you, who, you know, is true to his word, who makes an effort to get to know you, what you like, what you don't like, and not just as a football player, but as a person, you're going to want to run through walls for that guy. And you see it now. You see it now with the players. You know, they're enthusiastic. I know they did some kind of private celebration for Shurmur's first win as a Giants head coach. You know, it didn't matter that it was a preseason win. And you can kind of see that there's I don't know if affection is the word, but there's a fondness growing in that locker room between the players and the coach and the coach and the players.
I think you're right, Patty. You know, I've been in enough Shermer press conferences at this point, and, you know, you've been in a few more, but I'm getting to the point where, for me, one of the highlights of those press conferences is when Coach Shermer says something, and then he looks out at the media and says, guys, that was an attempt at humor. You know, he gets silence. And then he has to tell people that he was telling a joke, you know, so that he is boring, but that's okay.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, look, you know, the bottom line is the Giants didn't hire him to entertain the media. They didn't hire him to be a television celebrity. They hired him to be a football coach, and that is what he is. And Shermer, you know, there are different styles of coaching. There are some guys who are, you know, my way or the highway type of guys. And then you have guys who are teachers. And I made this observation, I believe, in my article for Big Blue View. Shermer really doesn't blast guys into the next county when they make a mistake. Now, if they make a mistake in the game, you know, we saw that with Jarrell Adams. Yeah, then he gets a little animated. But if you notice during practice, I think you would be hard pressed to find an incident where, you know, somebody on the team screwed up and the coaches, you know, came after them and screamed, "What that, you know, bleep are you doing?" You know, and we saw that a lot in the previous regime. I mean, even with Coughlin, we'd see that. And you know, Shermer and his assistants have been very calm. It's like, okay, this is why we practice. We make the mistakes. We identify them. We go, we correct them, and come the game, we don't have to worry about them. And I just like that approach because, you know, I'm going to use the word adult here. He's treating those players like adults.
Yes, he is, Patty. Let's turn to, as we talk about state of the Giants, let's turn to the 53-man roster. You know, some of the good things that we've seen, some of the things that we still, you know, have as question marks. Let me put a question to you this way. Think of things that you know, as we started into the off season, and maybe as we started into spring into training camp. Excuse me. Now getting my I'm thinking baseball here for some reason. I don't know, but as we started into training camp, is there a question that you had, you know, entering all of this that's been answered for you at this point?
Oh yeah, for sure. The linebackers, I have to go there. You know, they remade the linebackers, you know, they brought Olivier Vernon to that group. You know, they've added Connor Barwin and Alec Ogletree. And yes, I'm aware that Alec Ogletree has struggled in coverage, but you know, one of the things I was concerned about was, you know, how affected they would be. You know, Vernon has had a heck of a summer. I mean, he's just looked in mid-season form. I don't think I've ever seen him look this good since he signed with the Giants. And I'm very, very excited about what he potentially is going to do in this defense. We just need him to stay healthy. That's the key thing with him, because he's had, you know, the ankle last year, and then the year before that, the left wrist. So that's been impressive. But, you know, I look at the linebacker depth, which for me was a big question mark. You know, I said, oh my God, who's going to back up inside? You know, outside they had Kareem Martin, Lorenzo Carter is coming on, but I was concerned about the inside, and I have to give kudos where they, you know, I have to give kudos to these guys, but Ray Armstrong has stepped up, Mark Herzlich has stepped up, you know, so I feel a lot better about the depth at linebacker than I did at the start of the summer.
Yeah, Patty, I would agree. And, you know, for me, it's sort of involves the linebackers as well as the defensive line when I think of a question, you know, that's been answered for me. And I guess I'm not going to say that it's completely been answered, but after two preseason games, I feel better about the pass rush, you know, than I thought I might. You know, we saw, you know, quite a bit of pressure, you know, in the game against Detroit. We saw pressure not only from Olivier Vernon, we saw pressure from, you know, from Kerry Wynn. By the way, we should probably just give Kerry Wynn the training camp preseason award, you know, for best player at this point, because he's been all over the place. But But I feel better about the possibilities for the pass rush simply because we've seen some good stuff from Wynn. We've seen some good stuff from Lorenzo Carter, Kareem Martin. B.J. Hill's made a little bit of an impact in the pass rush. So, I've been concerned about that. And as I said, it's not going to be fully answered until we get to real games. But I feel a little better about the possibilities there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, James Betcher is creative. He is relentless. And, you know, how nice is it to see a guy who goes after the quarterback with his defense? I mean, he's just some of these alignments that he's put out there. And keep in mind, this hasn't even been game planning involved here, but some of these alignments have confused the heck out of the offense. And it's just been so much fun to watch.
Yes, it has. I mean, we've seen a little bit more of the 4-3 look, you know, four down linemen than I thought we might. But I'm not even really worrying about that at this point. You know, at this point, the Giants aren't game planning. They're not showing everything in their arsenal. Most of it has been, you know, one-on-one matchups with guys like Wynn and Martin and Carter, you know, in addition to Vernon, you know, pushing their guys into the backfield. And that's what's been encouraging to me is that when I look at it, a lot of the pressure that we've seen hasn't been schemed pressure. It's just been, you know, guys beating their blockers.
Yeah, and that's where it starts, with those one-on-one matchups. I mean, I think I saw a clip when I was studying film the other day. I saw one where Damon Harrison had three guys trying to block him, and yet he just mowed them right back into the quarterback's lap. And it was just a beautiful thing to see, because this is what's really been missing from this defense. I mean, you've seen it in bits and pieces. You know, Harrison's always been, you know, a solid player, but, you know, now you're seeing it come up the middle. You're seeing it come from the edges. I mean, it's just good luck to the opposing quarterbacks, because I think this defense is going to be, you know, a load to handle.
Patty, before we move on to another topic, let's take a quick break here for a word from one of our sponsors. Okay, Patty, let's move on. You know, we just did a question, you know, for both of us that we, you know, feel better about, you know, as we head toward the regular season. Let's take a look at a question, you know, that you might have that really for you has still not been answered, or one that really has you concerned, you know, as we're just a couple of weeks away from the start of the regular season?
I think the obvious is, well, there's several obvious ones, but the biggest one that I am concerned about right now is the backup depth at offensive tackle. I have not been impressed with what I have seen from Chad Wheeler and Nick Becton. And I did a study for The Athletic that just hit today. And I commented about, you know, I looked at snap counts and I looked at who's been playing left side, right side, and, you know, what kind of production they've had. And really, Wheeler and Becton are the only two backup tackles who have been, I guess, competing for that swing tackle role. And I think we can probably say that neither has really stepped up and, you know, grabbed that position by the throat. I would not be surprised at all if the Giants desperately go out on a hunt to another team's roster and bring in a veteran swing tackle. I mean, I don't know who's going to get, you know, cut at this point, but I would have to think that that's top priority, because, you know, look, injuries do happen. They will happen. You know, Eric Flowers, even though, you know, Coach Shermer said that Flowers, you know, played well. I mean, we all saw the pressure he gave up. You know, there's also been some technique issues where he's been inconsistent. You got to have somebody, you know, in reserve there. And I'm not sure that Wheeler and Becton are, you know, have really made that position their own yet.
Absolutely agree with that, Patty. In fact, I wrote that on Sunday at Big Blue View that, you know, when I look at this team at the halfway point of the preseason, there's no way that I could feel good about either Chad Wheeler or Nick Becton having to come into a regular season game that mattered and try to protect, you know, one of the edges, you know, for Eli Manning. I believe at this point that it's an absolute must for the Giants to go out, you know, once cuts are made and find a swing tackle. So we're absolutely in agreement there. The other position that jumps to mind, and as you said, there are quite a few, you know, where there are still concerns and still, you know, decisions to be made. But the one that jumps to mind for me, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for some clarity at the backup cornerback positions. And at this point, I feel like I still don't have any. We've seen, you know, I think B.W. Webb has stepped up and is probably going to be the slot corner. But if you get beyond that, if you get beyond Janoris Jenkins, Eli Apple, and B.W. Webb, I'm still not sure what the Giants have or if they have enough. We've seen some good things from Grant Haley, but then we've also seen him get physically overmatched at times. We've seen some good things from Leonard Johnson, you know, but we've seen some bad things from Leonard Johnson. You know, William Gay seems to be sort of fading out of the cornerback picture. We saw some really good things from Dante Dion, you know, early in training camp, but he's been hurt for 2 weeks, and you can't make the roster if you can't get on the field. So I'm still just not sure what the Giants have at the backup cornerback spots and if they have enough.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they look to add somebody there as well. But I will say this much about a couple of those guys that you mentioned. Grant Haley is a rookie. And, you know, had Sam Beal not ended up on IR, he would have been in that spot. And I think maybe Haley might have been destined for the practice squad. But now I think you just swap out Haley you swap out Beal and Haley, and, you know, since Beal is on injured reserve, and I think Haley will be the fifth cornerback, a guy who we might not see very often, assuming he does make the roster. Leonard Johnson is a guy, it's interesting, he's had some snaps at the slot cornerback spot, but it does look like B.W. Webb is going to be that guy right now, because as you said, William Gay, who everybody kind of projected to be the slot cornerback, has not really, you know, seized the opportunity. I mean, they've even tried him at safety, which is, a sure sign that, you know, they're moving on from him in cornerback spot. But something to keep in mind and something to keep an eye on when it comes to that cornerback spot is that at some point, I would not be surprised if the Giants bring back Teddy Williams, who, of course, was with them earlier in camp, had to be released because, you know, he had some family issues going on that he needed to tend to. But I would not be shocked if they bring him back, especially if they have struggles or an injury at the cornerback spot. So I just think that, you know, when the final roster cuts are made, your five are going to be Jenkins, Apple, B.W. Webb, Johnson and Haley. I think those are going to be your five. And then, like I said, if there's an injury or, you know, if they need to add another guy for whatever the reason, and Teddy Williams has resolved whatever he's got going on, I think they'll bring him back.
That's possible, Patty. You know, but even Teddy Williams, I'm not sure what the Giants have in Williams. I mean, he's another one of those guys who's been sort of a journeyman backup type. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm hoping to see a little bit better play, a little bit more consistent play from Grant Haley, before I'm 100% convinced that he's a 53-man roster guy and not a practice squad guy. But we'll see how that goes. Patty, let's turn to some individual players. Let's look at, looking at the 53-man roster, and I know you did a roster breakdown, I believe, that hit today or yesterday for The Athletic. Guys who maybe have surprised you, you know, in a positive way, you know, and have a better shot at making the 53 than you might have thought they did.
I think right off the bat, I got to go to the running back spot. I've been very intrigued by what I've seen from Jalen Simmons and Robert Martin. Now, Jalen Simmons, of course, unfortunately, is in the concussion protocol, probably will not play this weekend against the Jets. But, you know, I initially, when I was putting together my 53-man roster, I didn't have either of those guys making the 53. I had one maybe going to, you know, the practice squad. But now I'm thinking, you know, instead of keeping Shane Smith, who's a fullback, maybe they keep, you know, one of Martin and Simmons. So it's just a matter of, you know, how long is Simmons going to be out? And, you know, I would think he would be back by next week because he was at practice yesterday. He didn't practice, but he was out on the field, which is a good sign. So that would be a position that I think I've been pleasantly surprised with. And, you know, the other thing that I keep beating the drum about is that, you know, and I know the depth chart is unofficial, but I just don't understand why the Giants, you know, I'm referring to a depth chart that they put out in their game releases, but why they have Jonathan Stewart ahead of Wayne Gallman. I've been saying this since last year, how much I love how Gallman runs, and he has done nothing to change my mind. He has looked sharp. He's looked, you know, elusive. I love how he cuts to the inside, outside. I mean, he did have the one, you know, brain blip where he tried to cut back inside and got stopped, but this kid can do quite a bit. I mean, you're not talking Saquon Barkley-like talent, but you're talking solid talent. And I just don't understand why Jonathan Stewart the other night got reps ahead of him. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't quite get that either, Patty, you know, when it comes to the Gallman-Stewart thing. You know, I guess you look at a guy who's a 10 or 11-year veteran, and I'm preseason production is what it is. You know, I'm not going to worry about it, but it's obvious when you look at Jonathan Stewart and when you look at Wayne Gallman, it's obvious which guy has the fresher legs. It's obvious which guy has more versatility. And it's really obvious, you know, when you take Saquon Barkley off the field, it's really obvious, you know, and I mean, you don't have to be a 20 or 30 year football coach to figure it out. It's obvious to the naked eye, you know, which guy should be, you know, coming into the game. And I'll be surprised and I'll be disappointed if over time and if those opportunities don't increasingly go to Wayne Gallman.
Yeah, I mean, another thing Gallman does well, I think he's like the best receiver out of, you know, at least so far, not named Barkley, you know, from the running backs. I think I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know I wrote it for The Athletic, but he's been productive as a receiver out of the backfield in addition to being a running back. And, you know, just to go back to this, the point on Jonathan Stewart, it's very possible that the coaches are kind of minimizing his workload, because if you remember earlier in training camp, Stewart got a couple days off and it wasn't injury related. You know, he is a 31-year-old veteran, and I know people are constantly asking me, why did they sign him? Why is he still on the roster? How much can they say that they cut him? I have no problem with him being on the roster because this is a guy who's been there, done that. You know, he played for a Super Bowl contender with the Panthers. He's a guy who I think is there to help Saquon Barkley, to help Wayne Gallman, to help Jalen Simmons and Robert Martin and Shane Smith. I mean, you can't buy that experience. That experience is so valuable. And people say, well, what about the coach? What's the coach there for? The coach hasn't played this game. You know, Stewart has. So he has seen things that, you know, maybe a coach has a different perspective on. And I think, you know, he's just a strong addition to the team. I know people, again, they're like, well, couldn't they have given him a veteran minimum or something like that? But you got to remember, they signed him at a time before they knew they were going to get Barkley, before they had, you know, Simmons and Martin, before they, you know, could see if Wayne Gallman could build on last year's promise. So I understand why they did it, and you know, the money is what it is, But, you know, at the same time, when I look at that contract, I think it's only a 1-year deal. And when I say 1-year deal, I know he signed for 2 years, but I mean, he's only going to be here for 1 year. And that is to help Barkley and those youngsters really get acclimated and take their game to the next level.
Sure, Patty. And, you know, in terms of on-field role, I believe that Jonathan Stewart, I mean, he's a 6-foot, you know, 240-pound power back. And at this point in his career, you know, his role is going to be short yardage, goal line, you know, his on-field role. All of the other things you talked about in terms of the experience he brings to the room and what he can teach those guys. I mean, I had a scout tell me a while back, don't forget that he was the 13th overall pick in the draft, you know, 10 or 11 years ago. He was a guy with the off the charts, you know, athleticism. You know, when you come to all of that testing, you know, a little bit similar to what Saquon Barkley is now. So, and he's had a lot of success in the league, you know, so in terms of helping Barkley, you know, he's the closest thing the Giants could get to a been there, done that kind of a guy, you know, who's gone through some of the things that Barkley will go through. And that will be a huge help. You know, plus whatever he can bring on the field, if he can, you know, if he can pound out some first downs for them, if he can, you know, make some touchdowns in some of those tough, you know, short yardage goal line situations. So I have no problem with Jonathan Stewart, you know, being on this team. I will just wind up having a problem if he's getting, you know, significantly more touches and significantly more playing time, you know, that comes at the expense of Gallman.
I agree with you. And, you know, there was a stat on NFL's Next Gen Stats. Stewart was, I think, the top-rated running back in terms of facing 8 or more in a box. And yet he was very effective on that. You know, people look at the reduced stats that he had. You got to remember what his role was. And I think his role with the Panthers last year was more of a short down back, short yardage. And let's face it, folks, that's an area the Giants have not been very good in the last, you know, couple of years. So I have absolutely no problem with Stewart being on this roster. And if they can get him to jumpstart that short yardage and goal line and teach, you know, Saquon Barkley the little ins and outs of the game, teach Wayne Gallman and the rest of those guys how to be professionals, hey, I'm all for it.
Patty, you know, sometimes 1 yard can be really, really impressive. And in a lot of cases, that's going to be Jonathan Stewart's job, is to get 1 yard in a really critical situation. Patty, before we turn to what I think will be our final topic of the day, which might be, you know, some players on the roster bubble, players who might be, you know, in trouble as we really look forward to cutting down the rosters, let's take one more quick break. All right, so Patty, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the 53-man roster, and we've talked about certain roster battles. Maybe some guys for you, as you think about it, you know, veteran guys who might have been part of the roster the last couple years, who might be in trouble here, you know, as we head toward roster cuts.
Well, I think first off the list is Roger Lewis. I mean, we've talked about this before, but Roger Lewis has languished with the second and third team offenses. This after playing with the first team offense last year when the receivers were, you know, when they had that week 5 wipeout of the receivers. He has been unable to move up and you know, get a merit promotion. I think just the handwriting's on the wall for him. You know, they have some other receivers now. You know, that's one of the positions where the clarity at the bottom of the depth chart is still up for debate, where I could maybe see them adding another veteran, who knows. But, you know, I think guys like Russell Shepard have outplayed him. I think, you know, Hunter Sharp, I think, hurt himself when he botched those 2 balls on specials as a returner. I'm just trying to think. Cody Latimer, you know, he should be a lock. You know, Beckham and Sterling Shepard, they're locks. So really, you know, the question is do the Giants keep five receivers? And if, which I think they might, because I still say, you know, they look at Evan Engram, even though he's a tight end, he's kind of like that tight end receiver. So if you're talking in terms of five receivers, I think guys that are in the guys that are going to make it are Beckham, Sterling Shepard, Latimer, Russell Shepard. That fifth spot is still kind of open, but I think Roger Lewis is on the bubble. I think Travis Rudolph is on the bubble. I think Hunter Sharp is on the bubble. And I know you're a guy that you liked in the beginning of camp, Amba Edetawo. He's kind of disappeared when it's come to the game. So I'm not so sure about his prospects of making the roster.
No, you're probably right there, Patty. Edetawo just hasn't made any catches. He hasn't really made any plays. I think he drew a pass interference penalty, you know, on a long ball in one of the games. But that's not going to be enough to get him on the roster. You know, when I look at it, you know, you focused on wide receiver. I'm looking at, you know, a guy like we've talked about William Gay a little bit. And you know, when training camp started, I would have considered him a lock to make the roster. You know, now the more I look at it, the more I think he winds up on the outside looking in. I'm looking at some specific roster battles for, you know, what might be, you know, final spots on the roster. I'm looking at, you know, backup guards where you've got John Jerry versus John Greco, maybe versus Chris Scott and Zach Karen. I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out, how to see if the Giants find, you know, how many roster spots they find for those guys. I'm interested to see if they find a roster spot for somebody like Calvin Munson. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that. I wouldn't be surprised in the end, as you know, we talked about the offensive tackle situation. I would have been really surprised, you know, a month or a month and a half ago. I think it would have surprised me to say this, but I think Chad Wheeler's roster spot's in jeopardy at this point. I really do. So, I mean, that's just a few guys that I can think of at this point.
Yeah, with Chad Wheeler, like I said, I think he may make the initial 53-man roster. But like I said earlier in the show, I really believe the Giants are going to be looking under just about every pebble they can find to find a swing tackle. And just, you know, something to keep in mind is that a lot of teams don't sign these veterans until the second week of the season. And that's because, you know, if you sign them before the first game, now you're locked in with their salary. So, you know, you got to kind of see how the projections are going to affect the cap, because right now the Giants have, I think, under $1 million in cap space. That is going to go up for sure. How much goes up, I don't know. I have to sit down and project that. And I will, and matter of fact, I am going to write something on that. I started that before we started taping the show, so I will have a better idea on that. But, you know, that's just another thing to keep an eye on, is how many of these roster decisions are going to come down to, you know, well, we kind of would like to have the guy, but he's kind of a fringe player and we can kind of use the money and, you know, maybe we can get a different guy for cheaper. And I think that has to be taken into consideration, like I said, because if you can get a swing tackle for the veteran minimum and now you're only paying him 15 weeks instead of 16 weeks, that's going to help your cap. And I think that's why we're going to see a lot of changes made to the 53-man roster by after the first week.
It's a cruel business, Patty, because we see it all the time. We see guys, you know, told on a Saturday that they've made the 53-man roster, and then on Sunday, you know, something happens and the roster changes, and that guy who was happy on Saturday is crushed and out of a job by Sunday. And it happens after that first week as well, which is a great point that you raised, you know, because of the way the cap works. You know, a lot of teams wait, you know, to sign a lot of these veteran players until after week one. They just cross their fingers and hope they get through that first week of the season, you know, with whatever backup depth they have. And then they try to go for their upgrade, you know, beginning in week two. And we'll see. I still think, you know, there's a few guys, you know, when you look at this roster, there are a few guys who are on other teams right now that are going to be on this team.
I agree with you 100%. It's just a matter of figuring out which guys they're going to be. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be very, very anxious to scour that waiver wire as the cuts are made from other teams. And I know I'll have a few thoughts as we see the names, and we'll just see what comes of it.
I will as well, Patty. With that said, Giants fans, we will call it a show. It's a Giants-Jets week, as you well know, so we will be back later on in the week to talk more about Giants-Jets, to talk more about different things with the Giants as they get ready for the 2018 season. With that said, thank you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.